So you might have heard there was a groundbreaking in Wisconsin this week.
Oh yeah, was it a big deal?
Let's just say...
We can say the eighth wonder of the world. This is the eighth wonder of the world.
Ah, the Foxconn groundbreaking.
Yes, sir. President Donald Trump was there, Scott Walker was there, Paul Ryan was there, Foxconn Chairman Terry Goh was there.
They all had these gold shovels, they threw a pile of dirt in the ground, it was official.
But it turns out, there's some news that's come out, that things aren't all that they seem about the new Foxconn plant.
Yeah, apparently the screens that Foxconn is going to be building at this new state-of-the-art plant won't be quite as big as we thought. They're going to be kind of smallish.
And at the same time, a big, iconic Wisconsin company, Harley-Davidson, has not been getting as much love from the president lately.
Yeah, to put it lightly. Seems like there's plenty to talk about.
Well, this is the WPR Politics Podcast. I'm John K. Wilson.
I'm Sean Johnson.
This week, a new Wisconsin company gets a pat on the back, and an old Wisconsin company gets a Twitter attack. So in case you haven't seen the Stanley Kubrick classic of modern cinema, 2001, A Space Odyssey from the year 1968, and the opening song, Also Sprach Zarathustra by Richard Strauss, as played by the Vienna Philharmonic, that was our opening music to signify bigness, and how big the Foxconn campus is projected to be here in Wisconsin.
And I think it's fitting that we would play that because in that movie, Hal, the onboard artificial intelligence on a spaceship, learns the ways of his human masters and tries to kill them.
And how is that fitting?
Well, if you notice the Foxconn groundbreaking, a number of the reporters who were there were posting pictures on Twitter of this robot who started out serving people sandwiches and by the end was serving us cream puffs. Okay. Learning our ways.
I see what you're talking about there.
Softening us up. And pretty soon, Daisy, Daisy. That's Hal sings Daisy. Mm-hmm. Don't worry, the humans win. All right.
Anyway, so the president was in town this week. Much like Laurel White is not in the studio with us this week because she's off.
How is that much like?
I'm just trying to go for a nice segue there.
Good segue.
Laurel's off this week.
So the
Sean,
president
talk about the president.
Here, and Laurel White is not here. The polar opposite.
Anyway, speak.
good segue. Changing paragraphs. Yeah, the president was here and spoke about this grand company that he helped bring to Wisconsin. And as he described it, he handed the ball off to Governor Scott Walker and Scott Walker ran with it. I think the president said that in football terms, Walker ran for like 2,000 yards in a day. That's a lot of yards.
Mm-hmm.
That's like a season's worth of yards for those who are wondering if that's a big deal. So. A lot of running. But I think it is the continuation you heard when the president is saying stuff like that and saying that Governor Walker is a special guy, special talent is one way that he described Governor Walker. And, you know, the governor continues to praise President Trump. This is sort of like this Foxconn deal is what has, I mean, if they weren't already bound together, they are certainly together on this. They do nothing but say nice things about each other when it comes to Foxconn and how they're both responsible for bringing this massive company to North America and Wisconsin and starting a new industry in North America, that of making flat screen televisions, which is now done overseas.
And so on Thursday, this event in the village of Mount Pleasant in Racine County in southeast Wisconsin was sort of a big celebratory thing. There were golden shovels and a big old American flag held up by construction backhoes. And the president gave a speech. Walker gave a few comments. Terry Goh gave a few comments. And the whole thing was just like, we're getting started. This is going to be a great success. The president said 18 months ago this was a big field. It's still a big field, but we're getting started.
Yeah, it was. There was no real news exactly committed at this event. We knew Foxconn was coming, and construction was already underway. It's official now. We do this. We humans. we like to do the groundbreaking with the golden shovels, and so now that's done. But there's some interesting news that's been coming out lately about Foxconn that is new. And this is something that was first reported, you know, in May by a Japan-based publication, the Nikkei Asian Review, in a story citing industry sources. Then by the Milwaukee publication Biz Times. I think that was on June 20th. And then this week by the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And what those stories spelled out was that this Foxconn plant, while it's been described as it was being pitched to Wisconsin as completely cutting edge, you know.
Not only is this going to be a massive tech plant, it's going to be building some of the newest, highest tech, cutting edge, high tech stuff.
Right. Like, so we're talking about gigantic screens, like a 65-inch or a 75-inch TV screen, 8K displays, amazing stuff. And it sounds like, at least in the beginning, Foxconn is not going to be building screens that are nearly that large. In fact, the maximum size of a screen that they will build would be a 39-inch TV screen, which, you know, 39-inches TVs have been sold in America with some regularity now for quite a few years. That is not like a big, impressive screen. So Foxconn says, look, we are still absolutely committed to these job goals that we committed to when we signed this thing. 13,000 jobs, an investment of $10 billion in Wisconsin. They're saying that hasn't changed. But the product that they're building, you know, this is pretty soon.
At least for the moment.
At least for the moment, is going to be smaller than we thought. And in an industry that is constantly developing, you know, a 39-inch screen is not like cutting edge. They could use that for like medical displays or, you know, something along those lines. But the reason they're building these smaller screens is because you got to get the glass. You got to get like giant sheets of glass to build those big screens.
So you're saying it's hard to transport a 75-inch piece of really, really, really thin glass over large distances?
Yeah. Haven't you watched those movies where they're on a movie set and they're a chase or something and there's guys walking across the street with like a giant
plate glass window?
Accidents happen. High-speed car chases run into them and it's horrible. No. Apparently, yes, it is hard, and you can't transport a giant piece of glass like that. Let's see the way that they referred to this in the Journal Sentinel was mother glass. The mother glass to build one of those big TVs has to be like 9.5 feet by 11 feet. That's pretty big.
So I'm guessing the mother glass is like a big raw piece of glass that they then like machine into the right shape for your big screen.
Yeah. Well, like, let's be clear. Everything we know, we read in the paper here. We're not glass experts or TV makers, but it sounds like this is the case. And so that, you know, one thing you can do if you want to build TVs that big, you have the glass built nearby. Right.
You put a glass factory next door to the TV factory.
Yes.
And who makes glass?
Oh, like Corning makes glass, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they say they're not going to do that unless someone else picks up 2/3 of the cost of building that glass plant next to this Foxconn plant.
And who might pick up that cost?
Well, look at in our case, the state of Wisconsin picked up a lot of the cost for Foxconn to build its plant. You know, the state is on the hook for roughly $3 billion in incentives for building the plant and for jobs created.
And then there's probably at least another billion on top from other taxpayer sources, from municipalities. And
the state, in terms of road building and things like that, it gets up to $4.5 billion, was like the roughly $4.5 billion is the best estimate from the nonpartisan Legislative Fiscal Bureau when everything is totaled. So that's a pretty sizable investment. So Corning is saying, hey, if you want
us
to
move there. We would also like a sizable investment.
And the state has said, no, we're not going to do that. They get a lot tied up into Foxconn.
Mm-hmm.
So the state has also said, look, it's not our place to tell Foxconn what kind of stuff they got to build there. We put these metrics in there. They'll get money for jobs created and mm-hmm. for investment in the plant. What they want to build there is up to them. But what they're building there, at least in the early going, is not going to be these massive TVs.
And I mean, I think part of what's interesting to me is that this whole thing is sort of based on the idea that this is going to be something that's, you know, massive and future looking. And it's going to, like, you know, sustain this region for decades to come because it's going to be a center of innovation and all these other companies are going to move in and be sustained by this big Foxconn plant. And I wonder if they're not building the most cutting edge high tech stuff, at least in the beginning. Does that sort of like tarnish that, does it tarnish the momentum to like nonsensically mixed metaphors there?
I don't know. I mean, it would still be the only place in the United States where they're building flat panel televisions.
Mm-hmm.
So you are bringing a new technology to Wisconsin and you are going to bring jobs there. Of course, there's a huge cost to government to bring those jobs there. But it is new, and Foxconn could ramp up to this larger size, you know, facility potentially in the future if there was a glass maker that would make the mother glass so big. But right now, it's not gonna be there.
So to get back to the actual like groundbreaking ceremony that happened this week, it was all about bigness and massiveness and celebration. But did anybody allude to this this reporting, this potential smallness?
So the president who spoke at this thing is not like prone to modesty, right? In fact, he was actually talking about his success in Wisconsin. He won Wisconsin in the last election, of course, and said that he was the first Republican to win Wisconsin for president since Eisenhower in 1952.
Turns out that's not true.
No, Eisenhower won it again in 1956. Richard Nixon won it three times. Reagan won it twice, the most recent in 1984. So a little bit off on that one. Then you also had the president say, as he has a few times recently, that they broke ground on a plant that will provide jobs for up to 15,000 Wisconsin workers.
Numbers 13,000.
Numbers 13,000. Right? Yeah, that's not the number we've been told. I mean, of course, there's been talk about like what it would mean and to spin off jobs elsewhere throughout Wisconsin, mm-hmm. that ripple effect. But 15,000 is not the number.
So what you're saying is that there was no allusion to the possible smallness. It was allusion to bigger than bigness.
No, the president of the United States who builds skyscrapers with his name on them did not pause to say, you might have heard that the screens here will be smaller. That wasn't alluded to. It was all about the good, obviously. This is a celebration for them.
But it wasn't all positive things that the president was talking about, including during his Foxconn speech. He made reference to another Wisconsin company, Harley-Davidson, that makes motorcycle bikes.
Who has been here for a long time. And he said, don't get cute, Harley. We want those bikes built in the United States.
I mean, that is a real quote. Don't get cute with
don't
us.
Don't get cute. So the president has been beating them up on Twitter this week, Harley. Because what happened is Monday, Harley announced it was going to be moving some production overseas to guard against retaliatory tariffs from other nations.
From the EU, right? This is the market that they were looking at.
Yeah, and the EU is angry with the president's tariffs on steel and aluminum. And so Harley could be a target of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so Harley's saying, we can't handle this. It's going to raise our costs substantially. And so they're going to move some production overseas. The president accused them in tweets of being the first to wave the white flag. And then the next day, he kind of went off on them. He said, Harley must know they won't be able to sell back into the U.S. without paying a big tax. Said in another tweet, if they move, watch. It will be the beginning of the end. They surrendered. They quit. The aura will be gone, and they will be taxed like never before. He just keeps going. Then he had another one. He had 3 days of tweets attacking Harley there.
Mm-hmm. But they're not entirely moving production out of the U.S., right?
Right. They're still a Wisconsin company. And they are a very important Wisconsin company to, you know, our governor's political brand, mm-hmm. which is what kind of makes this so interesting. That at a time when he has become, you know, at least publicly, he's very close with the president. He says nothing but good things about him when they're in the room together, sharing mm-hmm. a stage. They're very complimentary of each other. I mean, obviously, we know that the president in particular knows how to insult people who cross him. And he just doesn't even come close to that with Walker. He says really nice things about the governor and vice versa. So at the same time, though, the president is insulting Walker's. This is like Walker's company, Harley.
It's on par with the ham sandwich and cranberry juice lunch,
yeah.
You know, brown bag, sunglasses in Scott Walker's reelection, his first reelection video. The whole thing is he's like riding a Harley and riding it forward.
Yeah.
Just like he's going to take Wisconsin.
It's part of his everyman brand that he has sought to build. You know, he's back to his days as county executive. I think that's where he learned to ride a Harley.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt watched how it worked well for former Governor Tommy Thompson, who made riding mm-hmm. that Harley kind of part of his brand mm-hmm. and would go on these Harley tours. Walker did the same thing as county executive. He toured the state, not campaigning for governor, just being a county executive, you know.
Well, wasn't he also doing some of that during his presidential bid, too? I think he went on a Harley tour of New Hampshire.
Yes. I was looking back through some of the coverage of that, actually, and our All Things Considered host at Wisconsin Public Radio, Brady Carlson.
Wisconsin Public Radio? Hey-o!
That's right. That's what we call it now since he's here. No, but he was working as a reporter in New Hampshire at the time, and he joined Walker on this Harley trip through New Hampshire. I said it was one of the most fun stories ever covered.
And now I'm just picturing Brady riding in like the sidecar with like goggles on and a microphone interviewing Walker.
Sir, I'm getting a little wind noise, sir. Could you slow it down a bit? No, but like Walker, he really sold it, okay? Mm-hmm. It wasn't just like, hey, you might have heard I ride a Harley. He showed up and rode across the state in New Hampshire in this Harley. When I covered Walker, the little that I got to cover him on his presidential campaign in Iowa, he was stopping at Harley retailers mm-hmm. just to reinforce to people, I am this kind of person. He would speak in front of Harley motorcycles. He would talk to people about like Harley gear that he's bought, you know, when he's just mm-hmm. mingling in the crowd, like, oh, yeah, I got a Harley wallet or Harley boots or whatever.
I got this great pair of chaps.
I don't know if he talked about chaps, but he's big on the Harley branded stuff, though, specifically. And, you know, looking back at the presidential debates that he took part in, he described himself. Let me see if I get this quote here. He described himself in one of them as, quote, I'm a guy with a wife and two kids and a Harley. Like that is me at my essence.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a guy. I have a wife, two kids, and a Harley. That's all you need to know, people. And then when they asked him in another debate what their Secret Service nicknames would be, they asked this of all the candidates. Walker said, Harley. I love riding Harleys. So in case you didn't notice, he's been trying.
He likes Harleys.
He likes Harleys. And, you know, he certainly likes making that part of his political brand.
And so how has he responded to President Trump's, you know, attacks on Harley?
So at least initially, he hasn't really addressed the tweets or the attacks on Harley at all. What he has addressed is that tariffs are bad, basically, that, you know, that mm-hmm. we all do better when we don't have tariffs. The quote from his press secretary on the day that most of these tweets came out was Governor Walker believes there should be no tariffs or trade barriers, as the president stated earlier this month at the G7 summit. When there's a level playing field, American workers and businesses win. That was Walker press secretary Amy Hassenberg. But he's not addressing the tweets, and neither is Paul Ryan, mm-hmm. you know, neither is Ron Johnson. They say tariffs are bad, but they don't attack the president. And, you know, I thought there was a really kind of telling interview with Congressman Jim Sensenbrenner, who was interviewed Monday by the BBC. Now, this is before a lot of these tweets came out. Mm-hmm. But Sensenbrenner was we'd heard about Harley at that point. And, you know, the BBC's asking him, like, hey, shouldn't you be kind of ticked off at the president here? But he says, look, the law allows the president to set tariffs. And the only way Congress can kill the tariffs is to pass a bill which he will veto. So I've come to the conclusion that you don't pick a fight with Mr. Trump if you want him to back off because he has a very long memory. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, the BBC, being the BBC, they push back and they're like, isn't that spineless? Mm-hmm. You know, they use that word. And Sensenbrenner says it's not spineless at all. The fact is, if you want him to change his policy, you don't throw a pie in his face. So Sensenbrenner is not, he is not timid. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've seen him confront people who yell at him at a rally, for example. He's willing to call out other Republicans. But he also, with the president, is taking this approach of, look, tariffs, you know, tariffs are bad, but he's not going to attack Trump for attacking Harley.
I mean, I think Tommy Thompson, who you mentioned, had a similar reaction to it. It's something, I mean, I think he was asked, you know, you also are associated with Harley's quite closely.
Very much.
And his response was, well, I think what the president is doing is something like, this is mostly rhetoric, and that whatever strategy the president has on Harley, that he trusts the president and whatever he's doing.
Yeah. It's still awkward for Walker, I think, though, mm-hmm. because this could play out a couple ways. You know, one, maybe the president has like misjudged what a hallowed institution he has attacked in Harley. He doesn't realize that people love Harley so much in Wisconsin and associate, you know, Harley with just freedom and the open road. And
the president, as far as we know, not a Harley rider.
No, he's not. Although he says like Harley guys like him.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe the president misjudged that. But still, Walker is closely aligned with the president right now. And here's the president attacking this, you know, this Wisconsin icon.
Mm-hmm.
Another scenario is maybe the president's kind of got his finger right on the pulse of where the voting public is right now. And maybe attacking Harley for trying to move jobs overseas, maybe he's chosen the right enemy, you mm-hmm. know, a company that's trying to offshore. And he's willing to, I guess, show that wart to the world. Like, look, Harley's taking these jobs overseas. Mm-hmm. And then you're taking Harley down a notch. And so you're taking the governor's political brand, his Harley, down a notch ever so slightly. I'm not saying it's like a factor that's going to sink him in an election or something. But at the very least, it is an awkward position for him to be in this, you know, this world of 2018 when his fate is so tied to the president's.
An awkward position, kind of like when you're riding like second on the back of a Harley and you have to like wrap your arms around the driver, and like the back seat is always like a little bit smaller than the real front seat, and yeah. Just kind of awkward.
That's why you get the sidecar, dude.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Exactly.
It looks weird, but it's super comfy.
Well, before this podcast goes on for like 4 frickin' hours, like 2001 A Space Odyssey, we might as well wrap this guy up. Sean Johnson is WPR's Capitol Bureau Chief.
And John K. Wilson is our resident politics nerd.
You don't need any help from Hal to open our pod bay doors. All you have to do is subscribe for new episodes on iTunes. You can also find the show on Google Play and many other podcast apps, and you can catch up on all of our past episodes anytime at wpr.org/politics.